Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 28th of June, recording at 9:13 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here on which was an interesting day. Most of them are, actually, in one area or another. For instance, here in stock markets in Asia, the ASEAN markets, led by the Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, and Malaysia. The Philippines, in a quiet day, but it actually nudged to a new high for the year, and the others are all within very close range of their highs for the year, as is India. If you just look at those four stock markets, you'd be forgiven for thinking, well, hey, the world's about to take off. The European stock markets were, well, I should mention China, eased for the fifth day in a row, although that has not completely offset the last upward dynamic, that one of three off lows, within a trading range, narrow trading range. European stock markets were a bit steadier, and they got a break from a little bit firmer Wall Street at one point. Wall Street was steady prior to the close, but then in the last few minutes gave up the ghost here and closed down very fractionally. It's just a shade below unchanged, but the S&P had the biggest drop. That was down 0.2%, or just over 2 points in the actual S&P, taking it down to 1074.5. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds strong again, particularly the U.S. Treasuries, which really, this has been quite an amazing move here that we've seen in U.S. Treasuries. Investors are obviously worried about a weakening economy. The price of gold, this was the most bizarre of all, because it was quiet and then suddenly firmed and went up and almost pushed to a new high for the year. Must have gotten within a dollar or so of it. And then as Wall Street rallied, gold fell back and actually registered another key day reversal to the downside. So having pushed up to 1262.80, it closed at 1239, where it's trading right now. And similar action in silver from 927 on the high, last at 1880. Platinum came down a little bit as well, though it was less volatile. Copper came off a little bit. It's down 2 cents at 309. So the industrial metals were mostly a little bit, well, they were mixed. Nickel had a good day in here. Up $900 to $20,650. The agricultural commodities were mostly a little bit easier, although I see soybeans went against that trend a little firmer. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, as I said a moment ago, if you just looked at those commodity-producing ASEAN Asian markets, those four that I had mentioned, and if you just looked at India, you'd think that all was well in the world and that they were all about to break upwards and run to the upside following a multi-month consolidation. Heavens, a consolidation that goes back to October in case of India. But all is not well in the world, sadly, as we also know. So you have the European stock markets. Well, even before I leave Asia, I should mention that we have that problem with China in terms of its overall underperformance and people worrying about inflationary pressures in China. Also in Australia, such an important resources markets, but it's been roiled, and shareholders, in many instances, or at least the companies, mining companies, infuriated by this super tax. I call it the Robin Hood tax, on the mining companies. So it's suffered a little bit in here. And then we say we come to Europe, and we have the strong, relatively strong European markets, which are those of Northern Europe and also Central Europe, Germany doing well, Denmark doing well, Sweden doing well, for instance. And of course, you've got the Southern European markets, which are much weaker, especially Greece, which is in sort of a class of its own and is down around its March 2009 lows. Okay. And then you've got the US stock market, which had been showing relative strength, still is, but is down a little bit on the year, fell throughout last week, and also here again today, just moving downwards, following last week. Remember, on last Monday we had the downside key day reversal, as did a few other markets. Now, the net result of last week, a number of markets around the world, including a number of stock markets, a number of individual shares, all had these, what I will describe as outside weeks. In other words, the range, if you look at the weekly charts, the range on the week exceeded the range of the previous week, which had been an up week, and they ended up on the lower side of the ranges last week, providing the key characteristic. Now, I had an excellent email on this subject, the first email of the day, which you will be able to see when I get around to completing my copy for today, and describing these all as key day, or beg your pardon, weekly key reversals. Now, strictly speaking, they're not weekly key reversals for the most part. A few are, but the majority of them are occurring within ranges, and they're just these big outside days. Nevertheless, the dynamic, and that is the dynamic, if you get an outside day, is downwards because they closed on the lower side of those ranges. And that's a bit bearish. So we've got that more than offsetting the bullishness that we see with those ASEAN stock markets that and India that I had mentioned. Now, will markets uncouple? Well, we'd all love to see it, and all investors would love to see that. But that's been a pipe dream, for decades. And they can uncouple to a small extent, provided Wall Street doesn't do anything dramatically negative. But the S&P is easing down here. I mentioned that it closed at 1074.5, and I've been talking about that important previous support level down at 1040. And I know that a number of other analysts will worry about the 1050 level as well. So, Wall Street's drifting down here and coming back to a moment of truth. And when I look at those outside days, that have, as I say, have the key characteristic, but I'm classifying them as mostly outside days because of the ranging activity. There's no doubt that those are bearish signals, and they would be bearish signals really in any environment other than a very overextended move to the downside where they might be climactic. Well, we don't have that at this stage. We've just been in this corrective phase since, what was it, the second week in April, and it's not over. And there have been lots of things for markets to worry about, but they've moved on. They've moved on. I think that we hear less about the European problems. That's because the euro has excuse me, steadied a bit. And maybe the memory of that, certainly the memory of that May 6th meltdown, well, that's faded a little bit. China hasn't quite been in the news so much as previously. But investors are turning their focus of attention to the U.S. economy, which is showing signs of slowing. Now, how bearish is that? If we feel that the U.S., and along with a number of European economies, most of the OECD, for instance, although not Canada, not Australia, but if most of the OECD, if we felt that they were really going to slide into a Japanese or Japan style, I should say, a Japan style deflation, then this would be a very negative outlook here overall. I don't really think that's the case because I think we got the interest rates and the quantitative easing early enough, and they can head off some of those deflationary pressures. And I'm left looking at a market where we have low interest rates in the short end, we have low interest rates in the long end, we have a yield curve which is quite healthy for the US stock market and economy, and yet we have this bit of slowing in the economy, and people aren't sure how strong that's going to be. Well, that will keep the Fed in a benign mode here overall, and we know we aren't going to get any cuts before November. It's not, if at the earliest, it's not too bad an environment overall. When I say cuts, I'm talking about cuts in public spending. So as I say, not a bad environment overall. Now, yet the technical evidence is still biased to the negative side here in the short term, and that's important, and so I'm going to repeat it. In the short term, the technical evidence is biased to the negative here for these OECD stock markets. Now, the net result of all this is that it's improving valuations, and you're getting shares increasingly that are yielding more than what we see from the long-dated government bonds, for instance. And that means, for me, I think it's worth nibbling from a long-term investment standpoint, although I have to say I see no evidence that these soft stock markets, the ones that had the outside downward dynamics last week, I see no evidence that they're about to rebound and go straight back up. We may have to wait another quarter for that. We may not see a strong market until we get into the fourth quarter of the year. And if that's the case, that would mean we're going to have another very nervous 3 months, 3.5 months, or so, possibly into the middle of October. So this may be a testing time overall, but as I've said, the valuations here are improving, and I am inclined to take advantage of that. That's exactly what I did in here today. I put some cash to work that I'd been waiting to deploy, and I bought a conservative choice, but I bought a Royal Dutch Shell, which was yielding over 6.25%. So, with a forward multiple of 8.5, so I don't feel I'm, putting my neck onto a chopping block in doing that, even though when I look at the chart pattern, it's a little bit indifferent, could drift a little bit lower. So we have the slow growth fears, we have the deflationary fears. In terms of good news, the possibility of a blow up in the UK, a la Greek style or Spanish style, seems to be almost off the table, because of the conservative victory and a successful, so far, conservative-led coalition with the Liberal Democrats and a tough budget here, which I think is probably the right thing to do. But as I've said before, the UK needs some luck here. Well, the whole world needs a bit of luck in here, in the form of not having oil prices spike to the upside too much. And as I've said before, the BP problems, I think, have raised the floor for the crude oil price, which closed, incidentally, at 78.07 here today. So expect a bit more of the same, I think, overall. Expect a sort of choppy activity without a great deal of trending overall. Now, if we were to get Wall Street suddenly surprise me and produce an upward dynamic and take out last week's highs, last Monday's highs, if we were to see that over the next fortnight, and then I would think that those ASEAN markets in India, well, they'd break to new high ground and probably run. But the chances are we're going to see more choppy action overall. Precious metals, well, cyclically, it's the wrong time of the year to expect a big performance overall. My view is the same as it was before. I'm cautious in the short term. I think gold's a great hedge to have in one's portfolio from a conservative, unleveraged, long-term investment standpoint. And what about the industrial metals? I think nickel's interesting. I believe the inventories are declining. Copper doesn't look too bad, back above the $3 level. Coffee looks interesting, albeit a bit overbought. Sugar appears to be in a base building phase overall. The grain and bean complex probably needs some bad weather to spring to life. That's always a possibility, but no evidence of it at the moment. In terms of currencies, we don't have a dominant currency right now. It had been the dollar for quite some time on the haven buying, but now people are worried more about the slowing in the U.S. economy, and so the dollar's, well, the gloss has gone away from the U.S. dollar. The yen's been quite firm overall, but we know from the comments coming out of Japan, and we can see it in all the charts, that this is damaging for the Japanese economy. We do have is a firmer sterling, and I would say sterling has bottomed in here and will range sideways to somewhat higher. And on that note, you've noticed I've managed to avoid mentioning the football. Well, until now, and I'll just say well done, Germany, for reminding us in the UK how the game really should be played. And it's nice to have at least one more European side in the latter stages of the competition. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.